אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Yes, that's right. It's affecting actually all Israeli embassies around the world at the moment, and that includes in Canberra. There's a decision which is expected fairly soon, hopefully, on this disagreement that's happening between the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Ministry of Finance in Israel. And the embassy said, due to the decision of the Ministry of Finance to, quote, violate agreements reached and signed by the Director General on July 21, and to unilaterally enforce upon diplomats abroad a procedure that contradicts a decades-old procedure, we are forced to close the embassies.
It's quite interesting. I was just flabbergasted. It's like, you know, people on strike, like school teachers go on strike. So the diplomats go on strike. They were not paid what they want to get paid.
Yes, and so suddenly, just out of the blue, I know they've been probably behind the scenes arguing about it, but bang, we're closed.
Well, I hope that they will open soon, because a lot of people that waiting for passports or need signatures at the embassy, it's really can cause a terrible delay and change people's plans because they rely on it. Shane, on a different topic, there is a surprise announcement. I couldn't believe it myself that President Reuven Rivlin said he is planning to visit Australia next year.
Yes, this will be wonderful. Of course, in recent years, we've had other very high-profile Israelis coming here, including the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. So now, next year, we will have Reuven Rivlin coming. He did aim to come to Australia before, but he couldn't at the time. He had to cancel because he had to suddenly go to Russia in 2016, that was, to talk about urgent security matters. So now, with this visit by an Australian delegation of former politicians led by John Howard, so they were over in Israel meeting the president, and that's when he told them, yes, I'm going to be coming to Australia.
Looking forward to see the president of Israel, Reuven Rivlin, visiting us in Australia. And we're talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Shane, what's the latest with the Malka Leifa saga?
Yes, it continues to go on. It changes every couple of weeks, but the latest, unfortunately, is that Malka Leifa has refused to cooperate with a psychiatric panel which was tasked with assessing if she is fit to face extradition in Australia. In a letter to the court last week, Leifa's lawyers said they couldn't allow their client to cooperate with the panel, which they had opposed from the start. Now, one of the alleged victims, Dussie Ehrlich, told the Jewish News, here we go again, more game playing and absolutely no attempt to even hide it. So what this means is if the case does move forward, despite this latest maneuver by Leifa and her legal team, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister's candidate Benny Gantz, and President Reuven Rivlin have all stated they will not use their veto to stop Leifa facing an Australian court. So that is welcome news, and that assurance was welcomed by the Zionist Federation of Australia too.
Shane, on a totally different matter, the sad story of Aya Massarwe that was murdered, raped and murdered in Melbourne while an exchange student. She came from Israel. Her father was here when her attacker, her murderer, was actually sentenced to 36 years in jail. What is the latest in that story?
Yes, it was lovely and very emotional to have Noah Massarwe here, together with his eldest daughter, Noor. So they attended the sentencing. But while they were here, they also launched a special Project Rosanna initiative, the Aya Massarwe Memorial Medical Fellowship Program. This is a fantastic initiative, and it'll actually, they announced the inaugural recipient of it, of the scholarship, Dr. Kadra Hassan Ali Salami. She's a pediatric hematology oncologist from the Augusta Victoria Hospital in East Jerusalem. She was actually at the launch too, and she will use this amazing scholarship to do further training to become just one of only four Palestinian pediatric hematologists in the West Bank, and the only woman. So it just shows how important this initiative is in creating ties. And Sayed told the Jewish News, this makes a bridge between the Jewish people and Palestinians. And from another side, it gives a chance for life. He said, I really hope this can improve the life for all the people, Israelis and Palestinians alike.
And we're talking to Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Shane, there was a very emotional memorial service in Pittsburgh.
Yes, 11 memorial candles stood on a table at the start of the public memorial service for the attack 1 year ago, exactly, on the Tree of Life Synagogue building in Pittsburgh. And family members of the 11 people killed in the shooting on October 27 walked around the table holding hands as a string ensemble played in the background. And there was lots of reflecting on the tragedy that affected the whole community there in Pittsburgh.
Shane, before I let you go, there is a very nice story from Melbourne of a Holocaust survivor celebrating his bar mitzvah at the age of 90.
Yeah, that's right. 81 years after Milan Bierenkrantz was forced to leave Schreider, because the Nazis had invaded Czechoslovakia, he finally celebrated his bar mitzvah at the Yeshiva Center in Melbourne last Shabbat, aged 90. Recalling the impact on the war, which saw him sent to Hungary by his parents, who thought he would be safe there, the Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen survivor told the Jewish News, I tried to continue my Jewish education, but I wasn't able to have a bar mitzvah, and I was scared I'd never have one. So I decided finally to celebrate on my 90th birthday while I can.
Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much and have a great week.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.